Beyond or any of these things that a lot of people behind me haven't said already. It is clear that there's a genocide going on, that Technion is involved with it, and that we have speakers on this campus who are also involved with it, and that's clearly wrong. So obviously, Resolution 55 and 61 should be passed. What I would like to talk about is the fact that we have people here saying that we need to trust administration, right? A couple people said that it's not the place for the student assembly, undergraduates, to be speaking on these things. We have them in this room today, right? We heard that suicide's not that big a deal. We heard that, actually the land was already taken by the time we got it. It's not a big deal. Native dispossession. Same day, we started with a land acknowledgement. Very funny. It's like a comedy routine that these guys have going up here. Yeah, what else? There's this whole blackmail sort of situation with Technion. They say, they're making bone glue. They're doing all these nice things. Yeah, you can do that and not make drones and bulldozers and shit. My bad. That's not parliamentary. You can have a medical school, you can have an engineering school that does engineering and medicine and not bombs people. You could have debates without war criminals. We had a pretty controversial speaker recently. We not sponsored by the university. Curtis Sliwa, he was locked up a lot by the New York City government and all these people. He spoke on campus. I'm fine with that. I don't agree with him on a lot of things. Not a problem. You have someone who bombs people for a job? That's a different story. Yeah, and one last thing I want to say, besides passing these resolutions, which I think it probably will happen. I don't know. I don't trust you guys that much. But like, I hope you guys pass these resolutions. But beyond that, we've passed a lot of resolutions. We've had a couple referendums. They're not gonna listen, right? They're not. That doesn't mean don't pass it. Pass it anyway. But you guys got to get involved outside of this room. Because right now, we've had like the most active student assembly in like, I don't know how many years. Doesn't matter. They're not listening. You guys got to get out there, get organized. Because a lot of people, some people here are organized, but more of you guys should be organized. More of you guys should be engaged in the political process outside of this room. Thank you.
No idea how I'm supposed to follow that up, but my name is Pen Fang. I'm a sophomore in the College of Arts and Sciences. I'm urging the assembly to pass both resolutions 55 and 61. Frankly, it's ridiculous that the question of whether or not to divest from genocide is even being asked. Of course, we should divest from genocide. Of course, we should sever ourselves from institutions that actively enable and participate in committing said genocide. Technion has a well-documented history of enabling Israel's war crimes and is, in fact, probably part of the so-called field testing Israel uses to market its military technology to clients. How can you sit here and casually support the testing of military and surveillance technology on people? Of course, I'm sure to some of you, the concept of the Palestinian people is an oxymoron because you are so far removed from your humanity that you refuse to see victims of an ethnic cleansing and genocide as people. I'll just list a fraction of the atrocities committed by Israel and Palestine, which Technion is complicit in, mind you, but it's first I'll say it's ridiculous that we have to demand time and time again that you even recognize that Palestinian people are people and their suffering isn't staged or trivial, and that there is in fact a government and military apparatus, being Israel and the IOF respectively, that perpetuate these atrocities. But how dare you defend our partnership with Technion or the university invitation of Israeli war criminals when we have seen things like the Palestinian child pinned to the wall with her legs blown off, or the medical worker holding a headless Palestinian baby in a burning refugee camp, or children reduced to flesh and bone dying from Israel's forced starvation, or the mass graves dug by the IOF because they massacred Al-Shifa Hospital, or the audio of the final moments of Hind Rajab, who, mind you, was 5 years old when her family and the aid workers helping them were shot at 335 times by IOF soldiers. And I could keep going, but I won't. Are we so morally rotten that we will again bend over backwards trying to defend genocide? Why must Cornell Tech be partnered with Technion specifically? What is so preposterous about a Cornell Tech without their engagements in literal war crimes? The foundation of your institution is so reliant on perpetuating and committing atrocities, especially against Palestinians, that we are not able to disentangle the two? Again, really, the fact that we're here debating this is ridiculous. Stop inviting war criminals directly responsible for killing children to campus. Stop partnering with institutions proven to be enabling genocide. Why is that controversial? Obviously, I deeply hope that these resolutions pass and make tangible change. But as we've seen again and again, our lovely president, Michael Kolakoff, loves to ignore the student body in favor of whatever money lines his pockets and also the fascist government. But I also want to say we don't need him. There are tangible actions that we can take without him. And please never forget that you can do things you can't organize, even if Student Assembly or President Kolakoff ignores you. There are more of us than there are of them. And so you should really get organized. Thank you.
Look at that, we got all the speakers. Good afternoon. My name is Levi Schmoll. I'm a junior here at Cornell. I'd like to clarify something I heard some other speakers say first. Cornell Tech is a Cornell campus, not a joint campus. Cornell Tech simply houses the Jacobs Institute, which is a joint institute between Cornell and the Technion. Not all Cornell Tech students are enrolled in the Jacobs program, only a subset in the Jacobs affiliate master's program receive a dual degree. Jacobs does not fund research. They confer degrees. They also support the Runway Postdoc program for startup founders. No PhD student at Cornell Tech has a Technion affiliation. Okay, that said, I'm here to ask one question. What are we doing here? There are so many issues of impacting this campus. Sidewalk shoveling, free laundry, better buses on campus, credit limits. These are real issues that tangibly impact the student body. Many of them have been under consideration for weeks now and are still pending. So why, when there are so many other problems, are we focusing on not just one, but two other resolutions that have no tangible impact on undergraduate students on this campus? Resolution 55 and 61 are a waste of time and effort. The university administration has shown time and time again that they will not adopt these kinds of policies. Let me re reiterate that the administration won't adopt either resolution. So why are we wasting so much valuable time debating them? There are more pressing matters for the Student Assembly to focus on, ones that actually impact student life and well-being. So please vote no on Resolution 55 and 61. Put this issue to bed and get back to actually representing student interests. Thank you.
It is 6:29 p.m. with public comment over at 6:30. We can take one person for maybe 20 seconds. That's about it. Are there any more takers for public comment? Yes. Oh, it just said
Move to
6:30.
Yeah,
Okay, so now we're out of
but I
public
have a
comment.
motion actually. I moved to extend the meeting time to 9:30.
Is there a second for
Second.
extending the meeting time until 9:30 p.m.?
Second.
Is there? There's a second. Is there dissent? We do have the room until 9:30 p.m. Is there dissent to a 9:30 p.m. meeting? Okay, there's dissent. Okay, so we now need to vote on the motion to extend the meeting period, the meeting until 9:30 p.m. Stop, please, please, both of you. All those in favor of a 9:30 p.m. end, please raise your placards and keep them raised. All right, that is a clear majority. Our meeting time has been extended until 9:30 p.m. I move to put the third reading calendar above the second reading calendar by
Second.
unanimous consent. There's been second. Is there a dissent? Seeing none, the third reading calendar is now above the second reading calendar. We will begin with Resolution 53, approving special projects request for the International Affairs Society at Cornell. Yeah, you like to recognize. I'm sorry, sitting. You should move, and then I'll let the motion.
Because of the large crowd, due to Resolution 55 and 61, but also with due respect to special projects funding, I move to motion to move 51 and 61, 55 and 61, to right below Resolution 54 on the agenda.
Is there a second for that motion? Is there dissent for that motion? Seeing none, the reading calendar has been moved. That's actually an
All
excellent
right.
vote.
All right. Yeah. We've already seen this, I think, last week. Special projects for the International Affairs Society. I'll honestly let them speak about it, because they're more knowledgeable than I am.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Linda. I am the VP of Finance of the Cornell International Affairs Society. We're here to get approval for our special projects funding for our most recent conference at the University of Toronto.
Three questions.
Hey, Representative Ehrlich.
What? Let Yushan go first.
Okay, Representative Chaudhry.
The event was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know. I'm not really in charge of whether this comes through. I still think, at least because it's in the past, we can have a full breakdown of exactly what was spent, and I don't know, we can look at it that way.
Representative Ehrlich.
I move to pass this by unanimous consent.
That is not possible.
Okay, then I just move to
Okay.
pass it.
So motion to close debate.
Close debate. I thought that we can move to
You
pass things if it's on third reading calendar.
no motion to close debate. Debate needs to be closed first, then we automatically go into voting.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
That's my
Is
motion.
there any dissent to going to closing debate and going into voting? Okay, seeing none, we are now in voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Keep them raised. Six, all those opposed, all those abstaining. Okay, in a vote of 26-0-0, this resolution has passed. We're now going to review Resolution 54, approving special projects request for the Cornell Persian Students Organization.
So this is a special projects fund request for the Cornell Persian Students Organization. I'm gonna move to make an amendment. I was informed that they have been able to change the venue, I believe, and so the total cost of the event is no longer 24,000, and they have brought it down to around 8. Motion to amend line 15 to say, whereas the total cost of the event is $8,000.
Second.
Yeah.
Their dissent. Okay, seeing none. What's made?
I was just gonna say, like, prior to voting, I know we talked like the past few weeks as an assembly, like I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, about like the purpose of the special projects funding. And I think that as an open event that's open to, all students in the Cornell community of all different backgrounds, this is like the oldest New Year's celebration in history. And I feel like it touches so many different people. And I think that really shows through the fact that we've already resorted to a waitlist option for this event. It's like fully packed. And so we'd really appreciate the support of the Student Assembly and, helping everyone celebrate this.
Vice President Young.
I mean, it sounds good to me. I would motion to close debate.
Their second, their dissent. Seeing none, debate is now closed. We will go into voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Keep them raised. Okay, all those opposed. All those abstaining, and a vote of
Am I able to motion to move a resolution up?
not at this time. He's finished the vote. And a vote of 24-0-0, this resolution has passed. He can move now.
Okay.
Recognized.
Just well, first clarification, Kennedy, did you move something up already?
55 and 61, yes.
Okay, that might take a while. But motion to move the student activity fund resolution immediately after following that one,
That one has been
please.
tabled. It's on the agenda accidentally.
Okay, take it
Okay.
back, whatever.
Okay, we are now going to go into discussion of Resolution 55, condemning the university administration's use of programming to platform individuals implicated in war crimes. Recognize. That motion may be made when we go into voting. Okay, please stop the side chatter on this side of the room. Thank you. We ready?
Wonderful. All right. So, we've been talking about this a lot, guys. This has been talked about a couple of weeks now. I've been reiterating the same points over and over again, but I'm going to reiterate them again because I think they're very important. So, for Resolution 55, first off, I want to reiterate that this is admin specific only. This is exclusively about university administration, about the president's office, bringing in people who have credible accusations of war crimes, who have been implicated in war crimes, on campus to speak, especially when they pose it as a talk that's supposed to teach us about peace. That talk I used was an example because that is one war criminal on campus too many. And this resolution does not at all in any plate, in any line, in any of my own opinion, in any of my speech, targets, this does not target Israeli politicians specifically at all. This does not target Israeli war criminals specifically at all. It is any and all war criminal, accused war criminal, somebody who's been implicated in war crimes that this is talking about. I'd also like to clarify this point on convictions versus accusations versus implications. If you guys see in the box, I don't think they printed the proper version today, but in the box, Resolution 55 that is there, I have my sources for all of you guys cited, if you'd like to look at them yourselves. I've also provided an appendix that has a PDF of every single article I referenced so that you can look at the articles yourself if you don't have a Nation subscription, if you don't have a Guardian subscription, whatever the case may be. Okay? I've also provided a definition of what I mean by implicated in war crimes. Okay, and I'll read that out. Meaning individuals subject to arrest warrants, indictments, or credible findings by international courts, tribunals, or recognized human rights organizations documenting their involvement in such acts. Okay, if you guys are gonna tell me that Amnesty International, that Human Rights Watch, and that the United Nations are incredible international human rights groups, I can't argue. I can't, like, there's literally nothing I can say to that. Okay. Additionally, in terms of the feasibility of this resolution and what these guidelines mean, this resolution is a recommendation. It is listed as a recommendation, and the resolve, the be it therefore resolved, and be it, the clauses actually calling on the university to do something are asking the university to create these guidelines using this recommendation. The recommendation is saying, hey, don't have people who have been implicated in war crimes on campus to speak. As admin, don't invite them. I've provided a definition of what implicated in war crimes means. It is up to them to create those guidelines. They can create a task force the same way they do with so many issues on campus. Yeah. And finally, on the point of this being like out of like not a student issue, I completely disagree. I'm a Brooks School of Public Policy representative. I'm a public policy major. The politicians that the administration presents to students are setting an example to its students. That is the administration saying, hey, we think Zippy Livni did a good job. Let's bring her in here to speak and talk to people about it. You know what? Whether or not it's saying they think she did a good job, they're saying they don't think she did something wrong enough where she doesn't have a, they think she has a credible voice on this stuff when in fact she's been accused for several war crimes. Operation Cast Lead has a UN fact-finding mission that's over 150 pages long that explains every single war crime that was committed during the operation. She did that operation. This was like this was not this is not a contended thing that this was a war crime. This is you can go on the United Nations. I have the source there for you. I'll take your questions now.
Representative Galbraith, Representative Ehrlich, and then Representative Causey. So we just go down the row.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Thank you for the clarification surrounding whether or not we're singling out one state. First of all, I would just note about Human Rights Watch. Its founder resigned because he felt the organization had gone too far off the rails, but that's besides the point. Here's why I still have fears for the implications of free speech, and I'm not going to tie you directly to what just happened. But when students rose in opposition to this resolution, they were heckled. People attempted to shout them down. I, for that reason, I do question the spirit of this resolution. And I'm also just trying to, I would also just like to know why did we take Dick Cheney out if it's not just about one place? And one other thing. If our conversations over the student code of conduct have proven anything, it's that we are believers in the principle of innocent until proven guilty. It seems that we are deciding that it is our place to pass that judgment of innocence or guilt. So, but I'll ask you to answer my question.
Yeah, in terms of why I removed Dick Cheney, that was because in furthering my research, and that was completely a mistake on my part the first time I introduced the resolution to you guys, and I apologize for that, for this. But when I initially produced the resolution, the goal of it has always been to exclusively be about admin inviting people. It turns out that the Dick Cheney invite was a co-sponsored by Cornell, oh my God, Cornell Republicans. So that means a student group was involved in bringing him in. With that said, I decided to take him off because that is not an example of what I'm trying to do here. Zippy Livni did not have, there were no students involved in bringing her here. That was exclusively the office of the president. So that's why I took him off. It is to that point. And then, yeah.
Representative Ehrlich.
I have a whole prepared thing that I want to say. But first, I just want to respond to Representative Galperin's point about people being disrespectful in the audience. I will say there was one gentleman who was laughing while people spoke, and I thought that wasn't really okay. It reminded me a lot of the time that you laughed at Pathways for Peace when someone tripped as they walked out. So, yeah, that was disrespectful. Anyways, let me get into what I want to say. Let me just start by saying I'm going to vote for this resolution. I'm going to vote for Resolution 61. Contrary to what some people claimed, especially that smear campaign, neither of these resolutions say anything about Israel's ability to exist, the legitimacy of bringing pretty much any political figure from Israel to campus, or the rights of campus community members to voice their own opinions on the topics. If they did say something like that, I probably wouldn't vote for them. These are good resolutions, and they aren't even binding on the university. They're expressions of our opinion as a body. And if this body isn't allowed to freely express its opinions, then I don't know what it's for anymore because we really can't do much else. I'm really angry about what's transpired over the last couple days. A few of you in the audience have mentioned the smear campaign that happened, and I think Adriana explained it pretty well, so I won't explain what it was. But to really explain my anger, I have to speak personally for a little bit. I'm proud to say that I am a member of the Jewish community. My family came to this country from Eastern Europe, one side from the USSR and one side from modern-day Belarus and Ukraine. They tell me about genuinely terrifying and very real anti-Semitism that they regularly face, horrible stories that genuinely keep me awake at night. I often remember the fact that one side of my family would be dead right now if they didn't leave Europe when they did. They came to this country truly believing that their lives would be better here and that their rights to freedom of religion, of speech, of conscience would be respected. And I'm going to be honest, I think they were right about this country. I think this is a place where we care deeply about freedom, not just our own freedom, but the freedom of our neighbors. So when the concept of anti-Semitism is trivialized so that it can be used to bludgeon anyone who makes any criticism of Israel whatsoever with thinly veiled legal threats, make no mistake that that is a threat to me and to my family who face real anti-Semitism and fled real anti-Semitism to come here to what was supposed to be a free country where people can speak freely. I will be damned if the author of this resolution, or any supporters of it in the audience, or might I add, any detractors as well, are threatened into silence. I guarantee you that if I sat in a room with the average supporter of this resolution or Resolution 61, we would disagree about any number of things. I believe Israel should exist. I actually believe in the purpose for which it was established. But I also understand that Israel is a nation deeply involved in a very controversial dispute, which has caused death, displacement, and a great deal of injustice to many Palestinian people. And I refuse to be insensitive to that suffering and that collective pain, and everyone here should too. The cruelty to then turn to those same people who care deeply about that suffering and then threaten them into silence astounds me. Honestly, like reasonable people will disagree about the situation in Palestine and Israel. I, for one, don't think it's so controversial to say that avoiding war criminals and weapons manufacturers is a wise course of action. It's not controversial. But honestly, we're beyond just that debate. We're at a point where the freedoms we expect at this university and in this country are under threat from people with such a flippant desire to win this smaller fight that they'd upend our fundamental rights. I'm afraid of what our society might become if they're able to win. So, in a moment when we vote, remember what's at stake here. It's a lot more than whether or not we get to see Kotlikoff's little rejection email in several weeks. It's our values, our rights, and our commitment to respecting each other on this body. I swear to God, if we are threatened into tabling this thing or voting it down, we will be signing free speech's death warrant on this campus. So let's choose freedom over coercion and respect over contempt and approve this resolution.
Representative Causey.
Sorry, can I use my right of response really quick? Zora, I'm just gonna use my right of response really quick. I do wanna say to this point on public comment as well, like the resolution is what the resolution is. Heckling or whatever that happened during public comment doesn't have anything to do with the resolution. And if we're using that against the resolution, that's an issue, and that's not like that's plain not okay. So I just want to make that very clear to everybody that like that should not be taken into consideration.
Representative Causey.
Yeah, I just wanted to start by thanking everyone in the audience for coming out today, including those who are in disagreement with the resolution. Now, I know coming into this that I'm going to vote yes on 55 and 61, and I'll go into saying why, but even then, I am still your representative here to listen to you and here to represent you. And aside from the cackling and anything else, I do appreciate you coming out here today and me being able to hear everything that you have to say. And there's been some parts where it's like, okay, I get that point, other things I disagree with, but I appreciate you coming out here nonetheless, and that goes for both sides. Now, as for Resolution 61, we've been coming up here today a lot talking about whether or not we, as the undergrad students, should be saying anything about what affects mostly grad students, right? To that point, well, I asked President Kotlikoff earlier today in front of everyone, well, what is a reasonable like sequence of action for this? And he was very clear that, well, if he rejects it, what happens then is then we need to gather all the different assemblies and a bunch of assemblies and come together and do something about it. See, we keep talking about this as if it's the grad student's problem, but coming out of pres President Kolakoff's mouth himself. It's actually all of our problem. And we need to participate with our grad student assemblies and participate in our other Cornell assemblies to get something like this passed. In fact, that's something that, I mean, we're talking about doing it, but we've already started doing this. We speak about it as if we're not talking to grad students. But for a resolution like this to happen, not only are we already getting in touch with the grad student assembly, but we need to be doing this in unison with the grad student assembly. And we need to be passing and showing our support for things like this to even get the ball rolling. We can't just take our hands off and say, oh, it only affects the grad student in one section. Because in reality, something this drastic takes the support of all Cornellians. Yeah, and I just think it's an honor to be here, and I pass.
I really appreciate that. I think you're making an incredibly wonderful point. I will say for our next speakers, just a reminder, we're just to focus on Resolution 55 for now. But yes, thank you so much, Maisha.
Representative Cook.
Yeah, I'm very pleased that you came out and you actually addressed the issue of accusations and the sources from it. Speaking from somebody that has been accused of a war crime, I was going to say, accusations can come from pretty much anything. But yeah, because a lot of people said that earlier in the speakings, and it making me a slightly little bit uncomfortable with that having to come from a credible source. So that makes it a lot more sense, and that clears it up for me. So I do praise you for that.
Representative Chidori.
I don't have a lot to add that other people haven't already said either in public comment or debate. One thing I do want to say though is I know earlier we floated with the idea of like voting by secret ballot. I'm very, very against that. I think this is definitely an issue that the student body deserves to see where their representatives stand on either side of the aisle for. So yeah, I just wanted to put that one out there really quickly.
Trustee Abebe.
Hi. First of all, I apologize that you were doxxed. That's not okay.
That's misinformation. I also don't want that to spread. Yeah, that's not necessarily what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you were safe and you are allowed to express your voice and your opinions. I like a lot of the resolutions that you proposed, but as a fellow public policy major, I also have some questions, specifically with the last part on the definition of war criminal. I know you said or recognized human rights organizations documenting their involvement in such acts. My question is, what happens if someone is contested to being a war criminal? Like, the only example I could think of in my head right now is like, say, a Barack Obama, right? Where certain people look at his actions in places like Pakistan or Yemen or Somalia, and some might label him as a war criminal and some might not. So what happens with people who could be highly contested? And if certain groups of students feel as though, like a speaker coming on is a war criminal, what steps can they take to work with administration to understand, like, the standardization of how people are being assessed?
Yeah. So in terms of clarifying that standard, I think partially that's up to the university to figure out what to do in that kind of situation. But I will say, the point of credible accusations is very important, as well as the point of multiple accusations. I think that Zippy is a really great example because there have been so many separate courts in different countries. There have been, you know, multiple international human rights organizations who have, you know, called her out. It would really be up to the whoever, whatever task force or whatever they decide, however they decide to make these guidelines, it'd be up to them to kind of figure out what to do in a situation like that. And then in terms of if students are opposed to a certain speaker coming on campus because of, you know, the president, I would love if we want to, I don't know, put an amendment in here and we can say, like, we can, you know, we can move to amend and say that we want student involvement in this, in the process of creating the guidelines, or that we want student involvement in the process of, like, speaker selection. That's also something that we would just have to add. And then in terms of, I mean, if you're ever opposed to a speaker coming on campus, We are supposed to have the right to express that, but obviously we have expressive activity policy, so you can do it between 12 and 1 or 5 and 9. Hopefully the event is within those time periods. Otherwise, your message is either ahead of time or delayed. But I do think that's a real issue, and I mean that's a lot of what this resolution speaks to, is that there isn't a transparent guideline between, admin and us, with like this, you're saying, like for the admins, for us to see those guidelines, that we can't, like there's no transparency in how they choose their speakers. And this also calls for that. So
Representative Sutkic.
Thanks, Yasmin, for speaking about this. I just wanted to quickly talk about why I think we should have a secret ballot, and I'm going to put it up to a vote on why Ishan said it earlier. I think that this specific issue has a very long history of people's lives getting plastered all over the internet and smear campaigns for what they believe in and what they say. To be quite honest, I don't believe in anyone's life being completely ruined for an opinion, or that being able to be taken a note of as you're a representative at a college, university, student assembly for undergraduates. And given that the track record on this issue is that I mean, people have been plastered all over, put in news articles, misinformation, called things they're not, their lives ruined, job offers taken away, effectively made unemployable. And I think that in terms of the students have a right to know what representative voted which way. I think that if it would, I think that it that wouldn't change anything if we tried to get it passed, or if we tried to get it passed again if it failed. I think that it wouldn't be able to change anyone's opinion, besides unless people started targeting individual members of the assembly, like personally, individually, and targeting them in the hopes that either they might relent or change their opinion, which I'm not a supporter of. So I think everyone should vote yes on the motion to vote by ballot for this resolution and the next one. If you don't believe you, we can just debate it or not.
Representative Galperin.
First of all, as someone who's been doxxed in the subject of a smear campaign, I am not in favor of a secret ballot. I personally am firm in my principles and don't take shame in them. And by the way, Yasmin, I assume you're also firm in your principles and don't take shame in them. I want to thank Representative Ehrlich for his really impassioned remarks that he just made. While I don't agree with all of it, it's all definitely food for thought. Here's another concern I have. First of all, this notion of a smear campaign, it's not, I don't believe that that's a way to get things done. And I am frankly quite angry at whoever started that, for the position it has put you in and the position it has put me in as well. You should not feel in danger, and I shouldn't have some savior out there giving me a bad look. Obviously, you not being in danger is more important. Let me clarify that. And it is in that spirit of not publicly shaming people for their free speech that, again, my hesitation comes on the implication, regarding the implications for free speech on this resolution. I have just denounced whatever smear campaign was against you. I don't mind saying I gave my friend some crap for pointing the middle finger at opposition, someone who was on my side. So, I'll feel much more comfortable of the spirit of this resolution if you'll also denounce those on your side who heckled people on my side.
Well, I thank you for saying that. I will say, in terms of the resolution, I think that there the implica okay, here's my issue with the implications for free speech. We can have open debate. We can have our free speech, like we can have all of this without it coming from people who have been responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent civilians. Like, I really don't think that that's that hard of a concept to grasp. And I feel like this is as simple as like we want, like, yes, we need those perspectives given. They can come from people who aren't responsible for violence. Like, I really think it's that simple. This is about violence. Yeah. And in terms of heckling, as I just said before, I don't like this resolution. Resolution 55 is written by me. It is being presented to you guys as the assembly. Like, public comment is there so that we can hear public opinion. I hope you guys all got a good sense of public opinion. I think that everybody who spoke was very well spoken, very well prepared for today. And you know, any heckling and whatever, I don't think should be taken into consideration here. I don't think we need to be able to recognize, you know, the people. Yeah, we're all going to have a difference of opinion, and the people who came up to give public comment and who spoke to you guys, like, that is who we should be listening to, not whoever is sitting in the audience and doing whatever it may be. Like, that is just, we're just supposed to know that as representatives. So
thank you.
Representative Ehrlich.
I think we all know how we should vote on this. And Admir, you should pay attention because you're going to want to make your motion after I make the motion I'm about to make. But yeah, this resolution is great. We shouldn't have war criminals coming to campus. It doesn't prevent us from bringing most people to campus. It doesn't prevent students from bringing anyone to campus. It doesn't prevent the administration from bringing most people to campus. I move to close debate.
There's a second. Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now closed. Recognized. By secret ballot. Yeah, well, just to clarify for the room. Is there a second on the motion to vote by secret ballot? There is a second. Is there dissent? There is dissent. We are now in debate over the motion to go into voting by secret ballot. Representative Galperin.
Move to vote on the motion.
There a second. There's a second. Is there dissent? So there is dissent.
I would appreciate
it. Motion was drawn. Okay. So we were in debate over whether or not to vote by secret ballot. Representative Ehrlich.
So I'm just going to say, like, I will publicly say pretty much anything that I have a view on. And I definitely, like, I'm not afraid to say my view on this. At the same time, I recognize the pressure on other members of the assembly. So my plan is to abstain because I want everyone else to decide. So I'm just urging people who, like, are concerned about what other people might think but don't feel strongly that everyone should have to vote to abstain, like me. But also, if you feel strongly, don't abstain. Like, yeah, I'm just saying that.
Representative Chaudhary.
Hi, I can't motion to close debate, but really quickly, this is a public service role. Again, like, you signed up for this job. You signed up to have your opinions be voiced and represent the community. You signed up to represent all the people who came and spoke today. Again, like, they deserve to hear how you're representing them. It's as simple as that. This is easily one of the most controversial resolutions that has happened over the course of the year. Like, that should make it exponentially more likely that they deserve to hear your voice in the first place. Real politicians don't get the option to cast a secret ballot. They're judged by their votes. If you're running again next year, you absolutely should be judged by the voucher vote. A lot of people know elections are literally decided by some votes that are made on certain resolutions and things like that as well. It is just an idea of free speech. It's an idea of student governance. There should not be any secret ballot. But this idea of, like, doxing or things like that as well, I think people are blowing this, like, way out of proportion. Some of, like, the big things, like, oh, jobs being taken away, things like that. That is literally because we had embezzlement on the student assembly a couple of years ago. That wasn't because people were being judged because of some sort of, like, resolution they voted yes or no on. Like, your voice deserves to be heard, not just by you and by the assembly, but by the entire student body. I think it's ridiculous that people are, like, arguing about this. You should have an open vote.
Representative Saki, you write a response.
Yeah, I just want to be, like, I agree with you on everything. I think that my personal opinion is that specifically, like, on this issue, I mean, I think a year or two ago that we had, you know, a truck with two massive TVs on the side of it driving around campus smearing people's faces on it and calling them all sorts of things for an opinion they might have voiced, as well as people I personally know, I mean, that have just said something or been somewhere and it's just taken out of proportion. I agree, but I think at the same time, you know, like you said, public service politicians, first of all, like those people get I think it's not an appropriate comparison, especially since to compare like a state or federal representative to someone as someone who has actual, you know, control over those policies and how the US like might actually resolve things on this issue versus a student who's trying to represent the people who have spoken and public opinion on it. I don't know. I'm not leaning towards it either way. I thought I would just throw it out there as an idea because I know a lot of members on the assembly probably feel this way as well. Maybe they don't want to speak about it, but I'm gonna vote a certain way, whether it's public or a private ballot. I'll say that for the record. But I thought it would be an interesting idea because I assume that a lot of people might not know that this is an option given by Robert's rules.
Representative Massoud.
I will say on this point of like doxing and smear campaigns and whatever, if we choose to do a secret ballot over these resolutions, we're letting them win. Like we're letting that work. We're letting them fear us into like scare us into silence. We're letting them scare us into repressing our values and our morals. However you guys feel about this resolution, I really hope you'd be willing to voice both out loud and over a secret ballot. And so I do think doing a secret ballot is only giving the exact thing that we're saying we're fighting against to win. Like,
yeah, but yeah. I'm gonna write down. Representative Ehrlich, I believe I called on you first.
So first of all, on Ishan's point about the doxing or the issues that happened a couple of years ago being unrelated to this issue, that's true. But a big reason we don't know whether people will get doxed or stuff for this issue, because last year it was brought up and it was tabled. By the way, y'all that were on assembly last year, come on, guys, come on. But anyways, I'm kind of curious actually because I've seen some audience reactions. Like the audience, like, do you all think we should vote on this publicly? Or yes, yeah, okay. So like then, I actually will not abstain. I care more about doing what people want. So yeah,
Okay. The shadow. All right, Representative Galperin.
I was gonna move.
Oh, you were not done speaking.
I mean, I.
Can I?
I'm sorry.
No, just because. Everyone started talking, so I thought you were done.
Yeah, I was going to move to close debate.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
There's a second. Is there dissent on that motion? Seeing none, we are out of debate on whether or not to vote by secret ballots. This is not voting on the resolution. This is voting on the method of voting. All those in favor of voting via secret ballot, please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? Overwhelming majority. All right, we are not voting by secret ballot. We will now go into voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards and keep them raised. All those opposed? All those abstaining? In a vote of 19-3, this resolution has passed. Right. Wait, actually, okay. We're now going to go into resolution 61. I don't have. Resolution 61 calling for the termination of Cornell University's partnership with the Technion Israel Institute of Technology while preserving Cornell Tech. Recognize that. And I'm going to step away from just to get my computer, but I'm
okay. All right. So, once again, we've already talked about this a couple of times. I'm going to reiterate some points that I think are very important. Okay. For one, for all of the opinion surrounding whether or not this is within our purview as an undergraduate student assembly. It is. I would like to echo Representative Causey's point that she just made about how Koltsikoff just came in here and just said that big issues should be coming from all of the assemblies. I will also reiterate that I am currently in contact with the Graduate Student Assembly, and I am getting them to work on this kind of thing too. I am working with them. We have yet to have a formal meeting, but I swear to you, I can show you my emails, guys. I'm trying. I'm reaching out to them. I want their opinions. And in terms of Cornell Tech being some kind of like, it's exclusively a graduate school. It's a graduate school. Yes, it only gives graduate degrees. It does not administer any undergrad degrees, but there are several undergraduate opportunities at Cornell Tech, one of which was mentioned in public comment, the Milstein program that's held over the summer at Cornell Tech. It's an 8-week intensive. It's a residential program. Students live there and they work at Cornell Tech. They do things at Cornell Tech. There's also an experience through Bowers called the Bowers Undergraduate Research Experience, where students can pair up with a faculty member and do a 10-week summer research program, either on campus here or on campus at Cornell Tech, depending on where their faculty member is based. There are plenty of undergrads at Cornell Tech. This is an undergraduate issue. End of story. Otherwise, I don't even know how to articulate this, but to everybody bringing up Qatar, basically, that's an issue. I agree. It's a massive issue. We can write another resolution on that. I'd love to. Let's do it. We can write another. It's a separate issue. This is about our Technion, our Cornell Tech campus. If you want to write a resolution about another one of our international campuses, I welcome you to. I really do. Thank you.
Representative Galpern.
First of all, you'll be glad to know I did write a Qatar resolution, and I hope for your support on it when I introduce it next week. Second, you did mention the undergraduate programs, and I'm willing to admit that that at points we were incorrect about the impact on undergrads. That said, we did hear about it from a student. As you mentioned, we did hear about it from a student who did participate in the program. And what did that student ask us? What did the one directly affected student who came asked us? She asked us not to vote for it. We always talk about hearing the affected voice. And we on the left talk about hearing the affected voices. That's the affected voice that came to us. Moving that along. Another concern I have here is, you know, you mentioned that the previous resolution was not meant to single out one institution, one country, etc. Regardless of what your stance might be going into next week, this does single out one institution and one country. And while we simultaneously have a program that mandates its students go to China, a country that is actively engaged in a genocide against its Uyghur population. So I really struggle that this is with the idea that this is some broader that this is meant to be taken broadly.
I will say, just to clarify, I said that Resolution 55 has nothing to do with a specific state, which is true. It doesn't. It's using Zipi-Livni as an example. It is about war criminals, period, from anywhere. Accused, sorry, people implicated in war crimes. I'm going to be very specific about that wording. People implicated in war crimes, anywhere and everywhere. This resolution clearly does have relation to a state. I'm not saying that it doesn't. It has a very clear connection that I want you guys to be making, because it is about how our university is partnered with a university that is constantly, constantly researching and developing weapons and surveillance equipment for an ongoing genocide. All I have.
Sorry. Representative Ehrlich.
Thanks, Ezra, for your points. You truly are a bastion of the campus left. I just wanted to
That's funny. I'll give you
All right.
that
Chill.
Anyways, this does single out a particular institution in a particular state. Cornell has one very particularly serious partnership with a particular institution in a particular state. You're right that there's another partnership that's very significant that we should address. The many, I think it's millions of dollars we get from Qatar. Is it even more than that? Is
It's
it
two
billion?
billion.
2.3 billion.
Okay, yeah. So that's bad. And we should do something on that. I'm glad you're doing something on that. But this is a very particular partnership that we have. We're addressing that partnership right now. We should all vote in favor of this resolution. I don't think anyone else had their placard raised, so I move to close debate.
Second. Their dissent. Seeing none, we close debate and now go into voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? In a vote of 17-2-5, this resolution passes. Executive Vice President Florine.
Motion to amend the third reading calendar and move resolution 64 and res yeah resolution 64 and resolution 65 to the next resolutions that we go over.
No, it was not moved. Is there a second? These are the two special projects funding. Is there dissent? Seeing none, we will now move to Resolution 64, approving special projects request for Bhangra at Cornell.
Hello, this is Druthi with Cornell Bhangra. Thank you again for taking the time to meet with us last week. I'm not very familiar with what this meeting will serve for y'all, but if you have questions and would like clarification on anything, I'm happy to answer.
Representative Chidori.
Hi. So, big fan of Bhangra. I go to POW every year. It's a great event. I did do some thinking though between second and third reading calendar, and I did have like one major concern, which is that at the end of your event, you guys donate all of your ticket sales to charity, which I think inherently is a really good thing, but it also does like make me beg the question of shouldn't those ticket sales first be used to like reimburse the cost of the event, and then whatever money you guys have left over from that, you should donate the charity instead, just because like we've been reaching a point with special projects funds where we're dipping like more and more and more into the pot. So I just want to make sure we're not unnecessarily spending money on something that the organization can inherently fund for themselves.
That's a good point. It's something we were considering this year, actually, but it intrinsically goes against what the mission of our event is. Our event is not to, at its core, our mission is to, one, join the community and share our love of this cultural aspect of our team, but two, it's to do good to the community. And because we have to abide by CU Tonight's grant laws, we can't charge more than $3 per ticket. Which really drastically limits how much money we can get as from our ticket sales. And so we're only getting roughly 5,000 in ticket sales because of that $3. And I don't think anyone in our leadership would say that the $5,000 that we could instead donate to IWR would be better used to then cover our own costs if there's another way of doing that through Cornell and through Cornell's money.
Representative Massoud.
Yeah, I will say also, I think that when, at least for me, when a program or an event is advertised that like their tickets will be going to charity, it usually makes me a lot more likely to go, a lot more likely to contribute. I get kind of annoyed when campus events, like I have to pay for them in any way, whether it's $1 or $7 or 700, like it's annoying. We already pay so much to go here. I don't want to pay to go to an event too. But if I know the money is going to somewhere that like doing really great work, then I usually have absolutely no issue with it. So I will say it also just helps the organization in itself, I think. And I think that we're in a very, very, wealthy space. we have the funds, we have these programs, like they can come to special projects. That's why we have this. I don't think that this is exactly the kind of event that we've been arguing about, whether or not our special projects fund should be going to. Like, this is open to all. It contributes to the entire campus community. This is exactly what we want these funds to go towards. I see no reason this shouldn't be passed. I'd obviously move to close debate.
Second.
Your dissent? Seeing no dissent, debate is now closed. We'll go into... Okay. The motion was withdrawn. Executive Vice President Flannoy.
Yeah, I just want to agree. Like, I think we shouldn't be, like, thinking about taking away money or, like, not giving as much if, like, we're expecting it to kind of be used to recoup their costs. Like, I fully understand that, like, we're in a, like, low amount for special projects funds and things like that. But if us giving them money is going to allow more money that they make to go to charity and go to a good cause, I personally think, kind of like Yasmin said, like, this is probably one of the best uses that we could use our special projects funding for, because it has an added benefit outside of just the organization. It ends up helping the community, which I mean, personally, I'll just say I think it's like a really good thing.
Representative Chaudhary.
I am as much for donating to charity as anyone else over here. I just do think that, like, number one, like, we are not in a wealthy time when it comes to our social projects funding. Like, there's not enough money, like, that how the assembly's treating it right now, where it's just like an infinite pool. Especially if you guys have looked at the special projects fund recommendations that are coming in soon in relation to the student activity fee. It is crazy amounts. I honestly think, in my personal opinion, we're gonna blow through it by the end of this calendar year at the rate that we're going at. It is insane. So that's a wild statement to start off with. Second, I don't think we're doing the math here properly. We just heard from them that they are gaining about $5,000 in ticket sales, and they're asking the student assembly for $5,000 to help run their event in the beginning. So if they just went and used their ticket sale money to help run the event in the beginning, then they don't have any need for this money in the beginning. Rather, those $5,000 are basically what we're funding right now, is just their donation to charity, which I am all for, right? I think donating to charity is a great thing. But at the end of the day, the student activity fee should be for funding events for campus, not extra money that we can put on top of events that we can then therefore go and donate to charity. This is not an endless pool of money. I love Bunger. I love Powell. I literally bought a ticket. I will be at this event. But this is not an organization that needs the money right now. I think it takes some courage to say that. I have a lot of friends on Bunger, a lot of friends inside the Indian community who are going to go to this event. But this is not an org that needs it right now. They've funded it for 23 years in the past. Like, yes, they changed it to Barden Hall this time, but they also used to do it in Barden Hall in the past before. Like, I just really don't think this is a necessary need. And really, because of that, I strongly encourage everyone against just to vote down the special projects fund.
Representative Dorwood.
Okay, so I think that this is an event we should definitely fund, because I think of all of the projects that have come through this door, like through applications, it's one that can tangibly affect such a large portion of the student body, and it's an on-campus event. But that being said, like, I do see your point, and I think that I would be even more inclined to fund this if maybe the donations were optional, or if it wasn't required, like, you know, cost of the ticket. I do see that point, because like, this should fund the event. I get that, but I do think regardless, like, I will be voting yes for this, because I think it's a great event for student, for the campus, but it's just something to like perhaps take into consideration of maybe having like optional donations or something like that, or suggested donation.
Hi, my name is Sonia. I'm the other co-president of Bunger at Cornell, but I was just carrying on this conversation. I'd like to clarify, I think my co-president misunderstood. We estimate 5,000, but tickets are $3, and we get around 1,000 attendees. So the actual amount we're making is closer to $3,000 from ticket sales. And so that would not be enough to cover both donating the funds and also being able to cover the cost of our event, which is the main reason we're requesting additional funding, so that the ticket sales that we do make, keeping the price of $3, is all donated to charity.
Yeah, apologies. I just wanted to clarify. I just checked our Vivenue, and it was just above 3,000. So I misspoke. So in case that changes anything. Concern, but thank you.
If it's a concern, like, would you be willing to use the ticket sales? Or is that a non-negotiable for you guys to not use the ticket sales to fund the event? Because, like, we could probably, I mean, fund, say, like $2,000 to make it like the 5,000 hole. And I think that'll pass. Like, I think everyone can agree that that would pass very easily. I don't know. It's, I just want to hear what your opinion is. So I can't really see over there.
Yeah, I think if we would be grateful to however much money your committee would be willing to allocate to this event. Our estimate of 5,000 was so that we would not need to pull from any extraneous or from our own personal team's funding, like individual members, because at this point our individual members have put in, specifically myself and Sonia, have put in our own money that we would be losing should we not get the 5K. But if at this point you see yourself only being able to allocate or vote and approve $2,000, we would be grateful to any amount of money.
Representative Wagasback. Back.
Yeah, I think I gotta agree with Ishan here. I think that, you know, if we were to fund this event and then the money that they made off the ticket sales like goes to a charity, that's essentially the same as us just giving money to a charity. I would be like, I think I personally would be more than happy to vote to fund whatever it is that they don't meet from their ticket sales. I think that's completely reasonable, but just like giving them all the money up front and then the money that they make from the sales to then go to a charity just doesn't make any sense to me personally.
That is recognized.
So something with like more specific financial data other than just like their application. Like I know for some of them we got like a
If it's
sheet.
not in the box now, then no.
No. Or like
I mean, like in the application, there's an expenses sheet. Like it's dead ass like a whole link in here. I don't know if we have access. I'm not on my computer right now. But yeah, it might be worth looking at.
Can we
Wait, I also just
do
want to
two
clarify
grown up?
with the presidents real quick. I mean, how much funding have you guys already received for the event? Out of the 17,500?
We are currently getting funding from CU tonight, which is around $3,000, and then we're getting money from SAFC, additional money, so that's $10,000, and we're getting money from Alana, which is around 2,000. So I would say that if I'm doing my math correctly, we have around $14,000 to $15,000 of funding total that we've received for 15,000.
Okay.
Wait.
Someone who hasn't spoken needs to yield their time to you in order for me to recognize you out of order.
You have it?
Oh, that's
Representative Ehrlich.
Didn't see.
No offense.
I'm super.
Nah, wait. So guys, so you told us you have $15,000 and we're about to do a request of funding for this for $5,000 and I have a thing here that says that this costs you $17,500.
Yes. So I'd like to
Like,
clarify. I'd like to clarify
I'd also
that.
like you to clarify.
Yes. So when we submitted the application for special events fund, we did not account for the shirts or merch that we provide to the teams. It's part of the event that we do every year. And because of extra shipping costs this year, as well as just production, the estimated cost of that was 2.8 to 3K, 2.8K total. And at that point, we also had not gotten $2,000 from Alana in our account. So all of that happened after we submitted the special events fund application, as well as that we had to order food and provide lodging for every team. So hotels cost 3.5K total and food costs around 1.5K total. So the estimates that we provided were simply based on last year's date like numbers, but we had an account we didn't account for the 2K that we got from Alana as well. So I'd just like to point out those discrepancies in the budget sheet.
Also, we really appreciate everyone here asking questions so kindly. Our intent is not to obviously steal from Cornell. The money that we are requesting is money that we have estimated. We were applying to many different grants at the time of our application to special projects. So we appreciate you guys just kindly asking us clarification questions.
Representative Anand.
Hi. All right. Thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us. So I am, first off, I want to agree with what Thor and Ishan said, how you guys are using us to raise money for charity and then basically saying that it was your organization that raised the money, which Understandable, not really, but the bigger issue I have is a couple of things. First off, it's why didn't you get the full $5,000 supplement from Alana? And then in addition to that, I'm also going to motion to table indefinitely.
Second.
Right, so they can't answer the question if you make a motion at the
All right,
end.
so I'll just motion to table indefinitely.
Okay, is there a second on that
Second.
motion? Well, you can't dissent before there's a second. If there's no
Okay.
second, is there a second? Okay, there is a second. Is
Wait, let's
there
just
dissent?
wait, let's hear
There's
them
dissent.
for
Okay.
perhaps.
We are now in de we are now in debate as to because I need everyone to be speaking. Oh,
I'll withdraw the motion. I'll withdraw the motion.
okay.
Just
So
withdraw.
the well, Representative Tarala and the community member co-sponsors have right of response to the question that was posed. If you'd like to restate it because there was chaos on the mics, you are welcome to do so.
Sure, I will restate the question. I wanted to ask why I did not receive the full $5,000 supplement from Alana.
So we were, when filling out the application, the maximum amount of money we could request is $2,000 each semester. So 2,000 was the maximum that our director, our PAO directors were told, and that was the money that was the amount that we applied for.
Vice President Adequa.
Hi, I really like your guys' cause. I like that you're impacting students on campus. I like to donate to charity. However, I am a bit confused on the number side of things. So if you could please just clarify in a very like succinct, simple way your other funding measures, why they have not worked, and why you're requesting that allotted amount to us, just so like we are better informed, because I feel like a lot of numbers are being thrown around. And I'm sure a lot of other assembly members are a bit confused on like what's currently going on.
Yes. Okay. So we received and got approved $10,000 from SAFC. We were approved and put into our account $3,000 from CU Tonight, and then we were approved and put into our account $2,000 from Alana, and that was the last number where we were not sure if we would receive that, which is why we had requested 5K from the Special Projects Fund. So currently we are sitting at 15,000 for in grant approvals for the event, and the 17.5 is an accurate request for our total event cost. Please let me know if I should clarify further.
Say accurate or inaccurate?
That is an accurate request or estimate of our total cost.
Accurate. Yeah, that's
AN
Okay,
space
then
accurate.
another point of information.
Mike, no.
I remember you saying earlier you added a bunch of numbers
Well,
on.
point
Were
of
those
information is only for the chair.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a point of information is for the chair. That's fair. It's
My
okay.
bad.
Apologies again because you are on Zoom. It sounds so much more chaotic over the mics. I have Representative Galperin next.
Yeah, I'll reiterate what people have said. Genuinely, thank you for the work we're doing, for the work you guys are doing. And it seems like the errors that we're dealing with today were a bit of a fluke. You mentioned there was something you weren't able to account for, but honestly, seeing as this is actually students' tuition money that we're dealing with, I find the failure to account for anything to be pretty unacceptable. I move to close debate.
There's a second on closing debate. There's a,
Dissent.
there's a, okay, there's dissent. All those in favor of closing debate, please raise your placards. That is a
I'll
minority.
withdraw my motion.
Okay, well, it failed first. Oh my gosh. We are back in debate. I have Representative Dorward next.
So to clarify, there's $2,000 left that remains to be funded, correct? And is that the same $2,000 that's being used for t-shirts, or is that going into the operations of the actual event? Because I don't know if we should put tuition money towards t-shirts, honestly. It's not essential.
Maybe just say
Could you repeat that? We're on it. It's a little laggy on this Zoom.
okay, sorry. So basically,
To clarify, as I understood it, there's $2,000 left that remains to be funded from your initial estimation. And so is that the same $2,000 that's being used to for t-shirts and for merchandise, or is that going to the direct operations of the event?
So the 2.5 that's still remaining that's unfunded for is not accounting for the shirts. That was an extraneous like extra fund that we put in. This is including our BSI setup, hospitality, hotels, etc. to make the event like operationally possible.
Point of information, how far off are we from Quorum?
That's for chat.
No, that was directed to the chat.
I didn't understand. That is valid.
You can also ask the Quorum at any
We are
time.
at Quorum. We are above Quorum. I did a count like a second ago. So even with Isabella leaving, it's
You
okay.
can also ask for Quorum at any time.
Okay. I have Representative Chaudhuri as oh actually Representative Yabut.
So we have the sheet that you guys sent to, I believe, SAFC. And then on line 9, it says that you guys have $2,000 allocated to t-shirts, which then adds up to your total to 17,525. So then with the $15,000 that you guys already have, and then $3,000 in tickets, you guys wouldn't need our money to be in the positives after the event. So just a little confused on that. Unless you want us to donate the 5K to your charity.
No, I'd like to clarify. So I think what me and Dorothy are trying to say is the 2.5K, the 2K that's in the budget sheet that you sent to SAFC, the estimated cost for that is a little more. It's around 2.8K, and the hotels are way more because we covered hospitality for every team. What I would like to say is that if we use the ticket sales to if we use the ticket sales to cover the cost of our event, it really wouldn't align with the mission and what we've been kind of promoting and supporting for the last 4 to 5 years, which is that we ensure that all our ticket sales are donated to Ithaca Welcomes Refugees, which is our beneficiary every year.
But yeah, I understand that, but then the student, like the funds in our
Okay, this
funds
is
should not
technically
be,
out of order.
but we shouldn't be funding other
Okay.
teams' hotels, is what I'm
Okay.
trying to say.
I have Representative Chidori.
Yes, exactly that. There's not much more left to say other than I think that we have come to a consensus here that while Bhangra is at a really, really good cause, it is not our responsibility to uphold other missions' events of like giving back to the general public when our mission as a student assembly should be to support students first. So because of that, I'm going to highly encourage someone else to motion to table indefinitely because this organization can not only fund their event.
Instead of tabling indefinitely, please just like reject.
Oh, sure. I can't motion, so either way, I'm just saying. But either way, like I think this organization can fund this event and donate to charity on top of that. They just can't donate like that much. They're not instead of being able to donate like $6,000 in this case, they're going to be able to donate $1,000. They're still doing a good thing. They're still doing a good cause. But student assembly and student tuition should not go towards donating to charity. It should go towards funding student events.
Representative Walters.
Motion to go into vote. Close debate.
There is second on closing debate. Is there dissent? Okay, there is dissent. We will now vote on the motion to close debate. All those in favor of closing debate, please keep your placards up. Okay, that is a clear majority. Debate is now closed. We are now in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. All those opposed. Okay, all those abstaining. In a vote of 1, 15, 6, this resolution has been rejected.
Thank you guys for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We are now going to.
All right. Yeah. Next one. Resolution 65, special projects request for the Young Democratic Socialists of America. They have a conference, the America Winter Organizing Conference. Supposedly cost them $5,083, and I guess I don't have the appendix with me right now. Oh yeah, you can come speak. I don't see appendix.
I don't have this exact request up on my phone, but I do know because we were sending 17 people to conference, covering hotel rooms, covering gas, driving from Ithaca to Chicago for several cars, food and transportation. These are members who would not otherwise have been able to participate. So I can weave the if I believe the appendix, you guys all received it in the box, but we calculated out the full cost to be that much. And we did some of our own fundraising, but we still have a gap. So that's why we're asking for the student assembly's assistance.
Yeah, just to clarify, this one is for, at least on the resolution, it says for $3,309 and 59 cents specifically. So that is what the request is. Yeah, just in case you're wondering.
Representative Ehrlich.
I think this one's going to be a lot smoother than the last one, but I just want to make sure of two things. One, did any of the costs that are on your thing change since you first submitted them? And two, did you get any other funding for this thing?
I do not believe any of our costs changed, and we have not received any other funding from any other byline organization or anything within the student body. We did some of our own fundraising, but yeah. This is to cover the gap.
Okay. Representative Roy. Representative Massoud. There a second? Is there any
Hey.
dissent? Seeing none, we're now going to voting on this resolution. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards.
Together.
All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, in a vote of 22-1-0, this resolution has passed.
Thank you.
Guys, I don't know how.
All right. I believe I stay here. This one is 48.
Yes, next is resolution 48, public comment duration.
Wow.
Okay, that's fantastic. I mean,
Okay.
it's been a long time, I think, since we've
Point of order, didn't we move the SAF up also?
No, unfortunately not. Oh, okay. Does anyone want a bottle of Kotlikoff water?
Oh, no. Is that empty?
No.
Oh.
Wait, I did not condone that behavior. If anything happens, wait, I'm so sorry. Wait. Oh
Well,
God.
you'll put that on the record because you said it into the
Oh dear. Oh dear. That was for
Okay,
levity.
let me.
I apologize. Anyway, yeah, perhaps a little facetious. Anyway, public comment duration. I think we saw how successful this could be. Today we had so many people come and speak. That was exactly, it was to the hour. My resolution sets the default. We can still change it whenever we want, but the default public comment duration.